All right, talking today with Roy Lee Lindsay of the Oklahoma Port Council Executive Director. And Roy Lee, tell me, we're about 3 weeks now into the legislative session. What have you guys been doing up there? What have you heard?
Yeah, as we reach the end here of week three, we've got one more week left for committee work. So all House bills have to be heard in committee by next Thursday, the 28th. All Senate bills have to be heard in Senate committee by that window of time. And so when we reach that deadline, we're going to pare this list of 2,800 bills down to something that we hope is significantly more manageable. We've been busy. There are several things that are important to us as the pork industry. We're looking for things that help us protect herd health. So we've got a bill out there that would eliminate the practice of feeding plate waste to swine. Today, if you're going to feed plate waste to swine that you're selling to someone else or they're selling for public consumption, you have to have a permit from USDA and the Department of Ag to do that. There's nobody active today in the state with that permit. So we're going to go ahead and take that exemption or that exception out of the rule and just say you can't, if you're selling hogs into public commerce, you can't. You can no longer use plate waste as a feed for that product. Still do it for yourself if you wanted, but you can't do it if you're going to sell for other folks. We're working on updating some old statutes that dealt with how we would deal with carcass disposal. What are those? Trying to update some old statutes in that regard as well. That's a Department of Ag effort, and we're just helping out a little bit with what they're doing. As we look down the road, you know, we've been working on issues that help us deal with feral hog population. Got a lot of guys with great ideas and well thought. I mean, you know, they put some time and effort into coming up with an idea, but not all those ideas are always the best, if you will. One of those ideas was let's put a bounty on feral hogs. And what we know from most bounty programs is they don't tend to reduce the population. They tend to create an incentive for people to keep them around. If I'm going to get paid for shooting these later, I'm going to build that into my revenue stream, and now I don't ever want to get rid of all of them. I just want to get rid of a few of them so that I can continue to get paid with it. Mm-hmm. So we've worked with some bills like that. We've worked with in the House on a bill that would allow conservation districts to buy electronic hog traps that they could then rent out to their constituents in their conservation districts for trapping feral hogs. Those things be very important to us, I think, as we go forward. Trying to watch what else happens as it relates to anything else proposed to deal with feral hogs. We've looked at some labeling laws, some proposed labeling, and what would that do as it relates to if we were to adopt those bills, what would that do as it related to our trade policy, as it relates to our ability to do trade with other countries, et cetera. And so far, we've been able to advance the legislation that we need advanced, and most of the stuff that we thought was bad for the pork industry so far has not advanced. And with one more week to get committees done, we're hoping by next Thursday we can, you know, wipe our brow a little bit and say, all right, now let's buckle down and let's get to work on the stuff that we really need to get passed.
Sure. Maybe this might be more of a national issue, but I know there's always attacks from some of those animal rights groups and things like that that want to focus on maybe going through the back door legislatively to get some things done as far as production practices go. Any threats going on like that you've seen so far?
I don't think there's anything out there that looks like it's coming from that angle. There are a number of bills that are out there that maybe come at it from our perspective, if you will. I know there's a bill out there that would require if you're going to label product that's lab cultured protein or it's something other than animal protein, if you're going to call it meat, it's got to be from an animal. It's got to be from a live animal. It can't be something that you created in the lab. It's got to actually come from an animal somewhere. I know we've seen, we've also seen legislation that relates to eggs. And if you're going to sell eggs, you have to sell conventionally produced eggs as well as whatever other variety of egg you want. Look, if folks want to buy organic, cage-free, great. That's all well and good. But for folks who are on government assistance, WIC, or some of the other programs, they can't buy. They're prohibited from buying cage-free or prohibited from buying other types of eggs. So what the bill would say is that if you're going to sell eggs in this state, you've got to have eggs that somebody who's on WIC or somebody on some of the other government programs can buy.
Sure.
We think that's okay. It doesn't limit options for the grocery store to sell. Mm-hmm. It actually says, here's something you have to include.
Yeah.
So we think that's probably a good idea as we go on down the road. And then we just keep watching. Haven't seen a lot of movement to date. We still got a week to go, but not a lot of movement to date on issues that would deal with the ag sales tax exemption. Mm-hmm. We've kind of kept those bottled up, if you will, in our work with the other ag groups. That's something we watch. We all watch very closely and keep in touch with one another if we see something that we think is a problem. Ad valorem tax and property tax is always something that we try to keep an eye on. Some of those things affect other members of agriculture more than maybe they affect us. Mm-hmm. But still something that we try to watch and just pay attention to, how could those things impact us? Because increased taxes in any way, shape, or form are something that we generally can't pass along. Mm-hmm. We don't get to tell our customers, hey, my cost went up 10% this year. You got to pay me 10% more. That's not the way the ag markets work. And so managing taxes, managing ad valorem, maintaining our sales tax exemption, those things are critical for our ability to be profitable long term.
Sure. So I know one thing that some of the other ag groups that we've talked to this far have seen is that just with the sheer amount of new faces over there at the Capitol, there's been a lot of educating going on over there. Have you all run into that?
Absolutely. When you start thinking about almost half the House of Representatives is new this year, 46 new members this year. If you take into account the class that was elected 2 years ago, there's more than 75, almost 80 members, I think, that are starting year one or year three. Mm-hmm. So they have 2 years experience or less is essentially what we're talking about. That's still a lot of new folks. Some of us were still trying to learn who the new people were from 16. And I think we're doing a pretty good job of identifying the faces that we see on the Ag Committee, the folks that we see on maybe the Wildlife Committee, on other committees that we interact with quite a bit. Mm-hmm. But when there's 46 new folks, we're still struggling with how do we identify all them. There's 11 new faces in the Senate. Two of those came from the House, so we're familiar with them. Mm-hmm. But nine new senators that we hadn't seen, you know, until this year. Mm-hmm. So that prospect of how do you talk to new legislators, and a significant number of these new legislators are very urban. They're from urban areas of Tulsa, urban areas of Oklahoma City, Norman. How do we share what we do and explain to them how what we do impacts them and their constituents? Mm-hmm. And ultimately, our approach has been, hey, your folks all eat. And our job is to put food on the table for them in a very safe, very affordable, healthy manner. And that's where their connection is. So you may be the representative from downtown Oklahoma City. What's your connection to the pork industry, wherever we're raising hogs? And it is that your folks like bacon, too.
Yeah. I have seen that trend becoming more prominent. People are starting to recognize more of an urban-rural divide. Do you think that is going to be an issue as we move into the future?
Well, it sure could be. You know, we're going to redistrict after the 2020 census. I think that means that we're going to get more urban. Our legislature will get more urban. You have today, you still have kind of a rural Speaker of the House and Speaker McCall, but Greg Treat is from here in the Oklahoma City metro area, Edmond, I believe, and so he's a little more urban than most of our folks have been previously. Certainly more urban than Mike Schultz was, you know, from down around Altus. And that's not all bad. As long as they continue to recognize the value and the importance of rural Oklahoma, I think our governor recognizes that. He's been out, been meeting with folks, been talking to agencies, been talking to groups across the state. Secretary Arthur has been doing the same. You know, that's one of the things we're still waiting on is she's made it through the committee process of her confirmation, but still has to be confirmed by the full Senate. So we're anxiously awaiting that approval to go ahead and take place so that she's finished all of that confirmation work. But so far, I think she's doing a wonderful job as well, meeting with the ag groups, talking to us about what our issues are, coming back to us with her thoughts and ideas and how can we help her. And so I think all that's very positive. There's just still a long way to go as we look at how do we keep ourselves relevant as agriculture. We're still the second largest you know, economic driver in this state. And if you get outside of Oklahoma City, and you know, oil and gas is big across the state, but our ag jobs are almost all out in rural Oklahoma, and we've got to maintain. We have to maintain our schools. We have to maintain our county governments. We have to maintain our cities, all of those things, so that we can continue to live and work in rural Oklahoma. So what I see a lot for pork industry is where 15 years ago, if it didn't directly affect the pork industry, we probably didn't engage in it. Today, we're looking more at how do we preserve the opportunities. How do we preserve our right to operate in rural Oklahoma? And sometimes that means we're engaging on issues that are maybe a little bit away from the pig, if you will.
Yeah. You kind of touched on it there about the Stitt administration. Obviously, I think he's kind of shown that he is willing to work with the rural community and the different ag groups around. And so are you finding that he is going to be a good ally for the pork industry here in Oklahoma?
Well, we sure think so. I've been really impressed with his efforts to get out of the office, with his efforts to go meet with state agencies and be seen and learn what's going on, for his willingness to reach out and say, hey, I want to know what's happening in all of these different areas of state government. I want to see what's going on. I want our state employees to know they're important to us. I love the pictures that we're seeing of him as he goes to visit. You know, didn't announce it really, but he just dropped in to see this state agency, and he's visiting with the folks that work there. We need state employees. We need folks that are committed to doing their job, and they need to know they're appreciated. And so I think he's doing a wonderful job in that regard. He talked in his State of the State address about the importance of outstanding programs in Oklahoma and growing the economy of Oklahoma. He talked specifically about the Oklahoma Youth Expo and its importance. And we certainly, as a sponsor of that show, agree 100% of the importance that that thing plays for developing our kids and supporting folks out in rural Oklahoma as well. So I think so far he's done a remarkable job. I'm excited to see what the future holds. That's the other thing that I think he's really brought to the office and brought to the Capitol is a sense of optimism. Mm-hmm. I mean, a drive. He keeps talking about we're going to make everything top 10. We're going to be top 10 in everything. And I think that's a wonderful goal, but he genuinely believes it. And I think you see that if you listen to him, if you talk to him, if you look at the things he's doing. I think he's trying to sell that message, not just to people outside Oklahoma, but to the people inside Oklahoma, to give them hope that, hey, we can get to where his vision wants us to go.
Mm-hmm. Obviously, the legislative session right now taking up a big chunk of your time and is always a major part of your year. How does this fit into the rest of your year, though? Give us kind of a preview of what's going on and what lies ahead in 2019.
Well, we've got a number of things coming up. Our National Pork Forum is in the first week of March. We'll be down in Orlando with my peers and with producers from all across the country talking about issues that are important to the pork industry, both on the checkoff side, talking about research, promotion, consumer information, as well as on the public policy or non-checkoff side. National Pork Producers Council and National Pork Board are both there. We run those meetings. They're separate meetings, but they happen at the same time in the same location so that we can kind of bring everybody together in one place instead of doing them separately. But we'll be talking about what does the future hold for us as an industry. Lots of ideas and thoughts on a public policy side. Where do we need to be? What do we need to do? As well as thoughts and about what do we need to be doing with our checkoff resources as we prepare for the future. And what does that future look like? Tremendous number of those on both sides, for the checkoff and the non-checkoff side, deal with herd health and African swine fever and concerns about ASF around the world. We'll get back from there. We'll jump right into the Oklahoma Youth Expo. We'll get out of the Youth Expo, and we'll jump right into Ag Day at the Capitol, and then a trip to D.C. for our spring legislative seminar. Our annual meeting this year moved, and instead of it being in February, normally we'd be neck deep right now getting ready for an annual meeting, probably starting today, I think, would be the normal day for that. But we've moved it to August. That gets us away from a lot of the other state conferences, a lot of the other state pork congresses, if you will. And so we think that'll help us in terms of bringing in vendors, in terms of bringing in speakers, a lot of those kinds of things, draw a little more attention to us and our association in the fall, or the summer, I guess. August will be the middle of summer, probably. But excited about what that change is. The first year we've done that, so we think that will be very positive. We've got, you know, a new, I know it's not new, we've done it before, but throughout the year occasionally we do specialty dinners where we feature our product along with specific beverages. We're going to do our pork and cork wine dinner on the 27th of March at McClinic Chop House and Saloon in Cowtown. First time we partnered with McClinic on anything, and we're excited about what that is. It's open to the public. Tickets will be available for sale on our website, so you can go to okpork.org and find those if you'd like. That's a really neat program, four-course meal, each course paired with a different wine. And the only rule for the chef is every course has to have pork in it. So, you know, the chefs really enjoy that. We do a number of these dinners like this. We do a beer dinner, and we do our bacon and bourbons, our big, if you will, event. And the chefs really like it because the only rule for the chefs is, you know, every dish has got to include pork. We do bacon and bourbon. We tell them every dish got to include bacon, and they really like that idea. But it opens up their creativity for what they can showcase, all the different things you can do with pork, and they really enjoy that. So all those things are a lot of fun. They're open to the public. We sell tickets through our website again. So that's kind of neat. That's a new deal. March 27th should be a Wednesday night. We're excited about that. We haven't done that wine dinner in several years, so good to get that back on the schedule as we look down the road.
Yeah.